You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have made it to the third part of this message. The title of this message is Freemasonry, the Religion of Fools, Part 3. I believe we should start this week off with a scripture, because this will define what I was telling you about in the first two messages. This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay? This is where we're going to see just how dangerous Freemasonry is to the world body. This is when you're going to see that it's not just flesh and blood. It's not just men. But this is spiritual warfare at its highest. You see, this is not just a simple men's club where these men go down and talk over what's been going on in their lives over the week. This is a subversive organization. It's a military organization. And it's a danger to every country in this world. So, let's go to the Apostle Paul. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm going to go over a couple of the words in this. You see, I have to keep reminding myself, and I hope I'm going to remind you as well, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to be a holy people. It's imperative that if you are going to be fighting in the spirit, that you are going to have to be holy. If Yahweh is to work through you, you've got to be repented of your sin. You've got to do this. It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility for us to be a holy people and holy people. It's a responsibility not only to Yahweh, but to one another. You see, we need to win this spiritual war, and we need to be prepared for this spiritual war. And the only way you'll win is if you are repented of your sin. And if you're striving to be holy. No, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. I'm saying that Yahweh knows if you are trying very hard to overcome your sin. I have to keep reminding myself how important it is for me to be who Yahweh needs me to be and who my brothers and sisters around the world need me to be. So it's not just a responsibility of yourself, or you're doing this so that you can be saved. It's more than that. It's important to Yahweh. It's important to my brothers and sisters that I be set apart and that they be set apart for me. It's a responsibility we have to one another and to the Most High. And it can be done. I promise you it can be done. And the more, the closer you are to Yahweh, the more he can work through you, you see? If you grieve the Holy Spirit, it will be an impedance to your warfare, an impedance to your life, an impedance to the progress of the kingdom. I'm not saying it's easy, folks, but I'm saying it's necessary. Why is it necessary? Let me read it again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, let's look at the word principalities. A state ruled by a prince, usually a relatively small state, or a state that falls within a larger state, such as an empire. Now, I want you to know that in the demonic realm, they are known as princes. But however, this is not just speaking of the demonic realm. However, the princes are the ones, remember last week, they want to bring the royalty into Freemasonry. And the royalty will help to bring other very important individuals into this subversive organization. It's very interesting because the Jew is using the Shabbos Goy to subvert their own nations, using the Duke of York to subvert his own nation. How can these men who are supposed to be the mucky muck, the high, how can they not see? How can they be this blind? You see, because they overestimate themselves and they've been flattered. And flattery is a dangerous thing, as I have told you. If somebody begins to flatter you, you should raise a flag immediately. Okay? So the second definition of principality, the position or authority of a prince or chief ruler, sovereignty, supreme power. Definition 3, the rule of a prince of a small or subordinate state. Theology, an order of angels, as I've told you. And this goes for, remember, there's hierarchy of angels in the heavenly realms with Yahweh, but there's also hierarchy of angels within the demonic realm. And these are often the powers that the Apostle Paul is speaking of, yet it's not limited. You see, what I'm going to show you today is these very princes and these very so-called angels are living within these men, these Shabbos Goy, these Jews, within Freemasonry. And you say, I doubt that very highly. I do not believe in the devil or demons. Bill Cooper said there was no such thing as the devil. And I believe everything Bill Cooper says. Well, sorry, Bill. Wrong again. Now let's move on to power. The ability to act, regarded as latent or inherent. The faculty of doing something or performing something. Capacity for action or performance. capability of producing an effect, whether physical or moral. Potency, might, as a man of great power. The power of capillary attraction. Money gives power. So all these powers are things that we are wrestling against. Definition 2 of power. Ability. Regarded as put forth or exerted. Strength. Force. Or energy in action. As the power of steam in a moving engine. The power of truth or of argument in producing conviction. The power of enthusiasm. Capacity of undergoing or suffering. Fitness to be acted upon. Susceptibility, also called passive power, as great power of endurance. So we are wrestling. So let's go back to the scripture once again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, interestingly, rulers have a lot to do with Freemasonry, do they not? A square is a ruler, and they are rulers of the darkness of this world. Just a thought. Maybe not what the Apostle Paul had intended, but maybe Yahweh intended that through his words. See, this is spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is it? Because Freemasonry acquires the princes and the Duke of York and all these people that are involved in the monarchy. And those are high places, you see? And there's spiritual wickedness in those high places. And they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. They are the powers. They are the thrones. They are the principalities in the physical realm. But when you begin to take on helpers and demons and angels within yourself, now it's translated from just flesh and from not just flesh and blood, but now it's moved into the spiritual realm. It's not just flesh and blood. So this is what is going on in the countries of the world. This is why Hitler got rid of Freemasonry. So let's move along. I did do the definition of ruler here. I thought it was interesting. One who rules, one who exercises sway or authority, a governor. A straight or curved strip of wood, metal, etc., with a smooth edge, used for guiding a pen or pencil in drawing lines. Marked with graduations so that it can be used to measure distances. One that governs, whether emperor, king, pope, or governor. Anyone that exercises supreme power over others. One that makes or executes laws in a limited or free government. Limited or free government. Yeah. Thus, legislators and magistrates are called rulers. Okay, so anyway, you get the idea. So, I'm going to discuss something before we go into the hidden life in Freemasonry. I'm going to just discuss a few things right here. Magnetism is used in the lodge. If I repeat anything in this message, it's because it's very important to repeat. It is important to remember that the operation of any power or force in the human personality has its subjective side. And the subjective expression of magnetism is emotion. For the purposes of the magician, magnetism and emotion are the same. Stir the emotions and the magnetic flow increases. Induce the magnetic flow and emotions arise. So they use magnetism in the lodge. You know, pole to pole, negative to positive. And what is the most important thing that the devil wants you to be involved in this world? Feelings. Emotion. You see? Emotion is very important to the devil. You notice how dancing is very important to the world? You notice how news stories that evoke emotion are very important. I've told you why. I told you why before. Because these demonic entities leech off your emotion. This is how they power their world. This is how they power. Remember the movie, the little movie there with the children? Monsters, Inc. They scared the children. And when the children were afraid and screamed bloody murder, this is how they powered their universe. This is how what those monsters are actual demons. A monster is just another name for a demon. So, for the purposes of the magician, magnetism and emotion are the same. You see, they need the emotion. And magnetism causes the stirring of emotions. It causes the magnetic flow. When you stir the emotions, the magnetic flow increases. You see? So in the lodge, when you're doing these... I don't know what you'd want to call them. Services? Masses? Let's just call it evil, because that's what it is. This is very important for them to feel, because feeling is all important to the devil. The devil tells you over and over in this world how important your feelings are, how you should live by your feelings. And I had told you in a message previous called Fear versus Faith, that faith is the opposite of emotion. Emotion is manipulation. How about if I put it that way to you? You see, it was like I told you last week. The blacks, if you call them blacks, they don't get upset at all. If you call them Negroes, they get a little perturbed maybe. But what does Negro mean? Black in Spanish. But they've been taught by the Jew to evoke their emotions if they were to hear the N-word. You understand? Which I had told you already means black. It's a game, ladies and gentlemen. It's mind programming. And they know that the blacks are a very emotional people. This is why they try to bring the blacks together with the white women, because the white women are out of control of their emotions. You see, both these people, the blacks and the women of the white race, are all the whole world to them is about emotion. It's about my feelings and what's important to me and me, myself, and I. That's all it's about with those people. This is why Yahweh put the woman under our thumb, because the woman is unable to keep her emotion and feelings in check. Therefore, she is vulnerable, highly vulnerable to all kinds of deception. Okay? So understand that emotion, and I'm going to do shows on this, hopefully, in the future, where I'll discuss this more in detail, and then we'll see examples, more examples of it, and you'll understand, oh my goodness, it's true. But let me tell you once again and remind you that your emotions, your feelings are just not that important. I'm sorry to be the one to inform you of that. You may think of me as hard. You may think of me as somebody that's calloused because I don't care about your feelings and your emotions. It's not that I don't care about your feelings or emotions. It's that I don't care about what the devil wants me to care about. But you do. You see, in Pete Townsend's Tommy, The Who's Tommy, Tommy, he couldn't see or hear, and he was also dumb. But he could play pinball like nobody else. Why could he play pinball? Because it's feelings. He could feel the ball. He knew where the ball was on the table. You see, even though you call your eyes the senses, and you call the smell the senses, and you call touch the senses, notice how important sex is in the world? Well, that's feelings. That's emotion. Climax of emotion, ladies and gentlemen, climax. Okay? So Tommy, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, and he couldn't speak. But he could feel, man. And that's the most important thing. One of the songs was, I'm a sensation. I'm a sensation. You remember that one? Sensation, a feeling, emotion, sex, the beat, dancing, the game. See? When the score is made, the emotion is put into motion, and everyone goes wild and starts yelling, and much emotion is brought out in that, you see? And that is what happens with magnetism, pole to pole. You see, on the football field, you kick the ball pole to pole. Let's use our brains, ladies and gentlemen. But let's keep our emotions in check, soldiers of Yahweh. Right? Remember when I told you, if a gunman comes up to you, you're supposed to react a certain way that Hollywood taught you how to react? If you do not react this way and you hold your emotion, that it will give the gunmen a whole different view of you. I'm not promising you you won't be killed, because these people are very emotional, you see. You understand? Just because you keep your emotions in check doesn't mean that they shall keep their emotions in check. But your chances are much better if you learn how to keep your emotions in check. In case I didn't go into this, I'm going to go into it one more time. Everybody wants to know this about Freemasonry. What does the G stand for? Well, they shall tell you it stands for God. But that's not Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. It stands for the Grand Architect of the Universe. TGAOTU. It stands for the generative principle. As I have told you, Baal Shaft. Here we are again. These are penis worshippers, sun worshippers, and penis worshippers. The generative principle. You see, at the Vatican, you have the Cleopatra's needle, or the shaft, Baal's shaft. and you'll also have what looks like the pool, the circle around. They don't have the pool. They have that at Washington, D.C. You see, when you see the monument at Washington, D.C., 555 feet above ground and 111 feet below ground equals 666. This is one big penis. One big generative force. You see, that's also a clock as the sun goes around the shaft. It points out time. So these people aren't alone at being penis worshippers. What this means about penis worshippers is, you see, I've known some Masons. They all believe in homosexuality. They've got no problem with it whatsoever. Anytime you come in contact with a Jew, you realize that if you're going to be in one of their organizations, you're going to have to agree with that. Also, they love communism because they're out destroying their own nations. They're destroying their own people. They're destroying everything to do with what's good. And they have declared, as I told you, I'm going to keep on pounding this into your head. They have declared Yahweh to be the enemy. Yahweh is the enemy. You can believe that. I've proven it to you already. I just want to keep reminding you that Lucifer to the lodge is the true light. And they keep the north side of the lodge dark because that's where Yahweh resides. And Yahweh really is the true light. So, geometry. These people are into this stuff. Gematria. I didn't even have that written down. I just remembered it. Okay, the G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. But it's also an implied number six. I've seen sites where they imply that G is six. And what that means is man perfected. You see, seven is the number of completion, and six is the number of man. So 13 would be man perfected. So when you see the compass in Freemasonry, it is the male, and the square is the female. You notice it's in a V shape. See, the compass would be the lingam, which is the penis again, the generative force. Whereas the square would be the female because it's called the yoni. It looks like a vagina. It's in the shape of a vagina. It's female. Have you ever seen, one thing that aggravates me about people that are always talking? They're always, they've taught them, they've gone to some school on how to get up and give presentations. And they take their hands and they put them with a pyramid. You ever notice that? It really aggravates me to no end. But when they show you that pyramid, they're actually showing you the yoni, which means it's the female. You understand what I mean? In other words, I'm submissive to this. I'm submissive to this order. I'm submissive. I'm showing you with a hand signal that I'm submissive to the order. And I think you know which hand signal I'm talking about. Just take your fingers, your hands together, and put them together with your fingers spread out a little bit, and then make a pyramid with your thumb and your forefingers facing it outward. So to those people, they're seeing the lower half of the Jewish hexagram. You see, it's the same thing with the Jewish hexagram. You've got two triangles. You've got one that goes up that's like it is in Egypt, which is the lingam, again, the penis, the male. And then you have the female one that this is also means as above, so below. So the lingam and the yoni. The compass draws in circles. So it has to do with the universe. Whereas the square is made out of wood usually, sometimes metal. And it has to do with the earth. So as above, so below. And ultimately, as in many signs that you see throughout this world, the compass and the square is just one of many of the signs of Freemasonry, of the mystery religions, which are all one together, all stemming from Babylon. They brought it to Egypt. They brought it here. They brought it everywhere. But what it really means is the sons of God and the daughters of men. You see what we're talking about, the sons of God and the daughters of men. They call those people gods because those angels came down here, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They left their first estate, these sons of God, and they had took these daughters of men who were beautiful and had sex with them. We've been over this on my show. You know what I'm talking about, but this is what all the signs relate to. You see, this is Satan, Samael, Halel, showing these people that are in these orders. You see, signs are for those that can read them. He's showing them, even though it's not true, that the sons of God and the daughters of men, this is the union that makes man God. And wait till you see what I'm going to tell you today. So the square is an instrument adapted for plane surfaces only and therefore appropriate to geometry. Hey, there it is, geometry. Or measurement of the earth. Get it? There it is. See, these are confirming what I just told you. Which appears to be, and was by the ancients, supposed to be a plane. The compass is an instrument that has relation to spheres and spherical surfaces, and is adapted to spherical trigonometry, or that branch of mathematics which deals with the heavens and orbits of the planetary bodies. The square, therefore, is a natural and appropriate symbol of this earth, and the things that belong to it, are of it, or concern it. The compass is an equally natural and appropriate symbol of the heavens and all celestial things and celestial natures. The compass, therefore, as the symbol of the heavens, represents the spiritual, intellectual, there it is again, ladies and gentlemen, intellectual. Don't forget now, the garden. I'm going to keep on connecting those dots, baby. Keep connecting those dots. The intellectual, the garden, the promise of being God, man becoming God, the monolith, the UN building. The compass, therefore, as the symbol of the heavens, represents the spiritual, intellectual, and moral portion of this double nature of humanity. And the square, as the symbol of the earth, its material, sensual, see the female, is more into material things. The female is more into the sensual and baser portion. You see, baser means lower. It all ends up to be equilibrium. Now, this is Pike right out of Morals and Dogma, what I'm reading here, okay? And equilibrium is what it's all about, baby. You see, that's if you wanted to sum Freemasonry up in one word, equilibrium is your word. I told you, the two poles, Jachin and Boaz. Okay? The positive, the negative, the dualistic reality. You know, Batman lives a dualistic life too. I told you about Have Gun Will Travel last week. Batman, another one who lives a dualistic life. And you see, Batman is a millionaire, millionaire Bruce Wayne, always helping people out there, you know, always involved in the government, always involved in the UN, always involved in the making mankind a better place. But at other times, he happens to be this hero of the underdog. This fighter of crime. In reality, what he's doing, see, that's equilibrium. You see, however much you sin, then you have to do good to match it up, because we got to keep it equal. You see this on the tessel board floor of Freemasonry, the white and the black squares. Squares again, folks. Squares. Yes. You see, there's an equal amount of white, and there's an equal amount of black, depending on how big the room is, of course. However, in the vision, it is equilibrium. Another word from Pike here. The Kabbalistic doctrine was long the religion of the sage and the savant, because, like Freemasonry, it incessantly tends towards spiritual perfection, and the fusion of the creeds and nationalities of mankind. The fusion of the creeds. What would that mean? That means universalism. That means we are interested in all faiths. You see, they want this to be the one world religion. So let me go on that again. The Kabbalistic doctrine was long the religion of the sage and the savant, because, like Freemasonry, it incessantly tends towards spiritual perfection and the fusion of the creeds and nationalities of mankind. In the eyes of the Kabbalist, all men are his brothers. And their relative ignorance is, to him, but a reason for instructing them. There were illustrious Kabbalists among the Egyptians and Greeks, whose doctrines the Orthodox Church has accepted, and among the Arabs were many whose wisdom was not slighted by the medieval church. Okay, that was Albert Pike. Okay, I will tell you this now. Symbolism is used to conceal their doctrines. This is important to know. You see, because the sign is for those that know what it means. It's not for you who are ignorant or have no idea what the sign means. Symbolism is used to conceal their doctrines. The sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, wait till you get a hold of this. Shabez Goy, I want you to pay attention now, you traitor. Because this always stood for the Jew. But look who's going to include you along with it. And not only are they going to include you, but they're going to include all the Judeo-Christian traitors that are blessing the enemies of God, who are the Jews. This is what Pike says now. Freemasonry means child of the fire. Pyramid means monument to the flame. They came from the flame. They returned to the flame. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Are you digging this? Let me read it again for you now. You know how I love to baby you. Freemasonry means child of the fire. Who is going to be bundled up and burned and cast into the fire? Who will return to the fire? The Jew, the Edomite. And now, Shabbos Goy, race traitor, traitor against Yahweh, enemy of Yahweh, Judeo-Christian, traitor to Yahweh, enemy of the seed of Jacob, Marxist, leftist, liberal, enemies of Yahweh, enemies of your country, enemies of all that is good. Freemasonry means child of the fire. Pyramid means monument to the flame. They came from the flame. They returned to the flame. Now understand something here. Notice something about the true Christians. We are born of water and spirit. Remember what Yahweh said in the flesh? He must be born again. Of water and of spirit. You must be born from above. He didn't mean born again in the sense of what Christianity teaches. See, they are children of the fire, this other seed line. You see this difference? You see, the wheat was meant to be kept. The wheat was meant to be stored. The wheat is valuable, but the chaff, the tares, were meant to be burned because they have no value. And you see, Shabbos Goy, you've allowed the Jew to ensnare you within his foolish nonsense. You've allowed him to turn Yahweh your father, because you, most of you white people, are Israelites. I mean, ones that are pure and haven't race mixed. Once you've race mixed, you're all done. You're going away. So the Jew has entrapped you. Now there still is time for you to get out. However, I'm not so sure. I just don't know. I've spoken to many Freemasons, and there is no way they have any intention of getting out. They're all in, brother. So, we are born of water and spirit. We are a reflection of the light of Yahweh. We came from Yahweh, and we return to Yahweh. See, that's my saying. I wrote that down from what Pike said here about Freemasonry being, you know, means child of the fire. So I wrote in response to this that we are born of water and spirit. We are a reflection of the light of Yahweh, are we not? You ever see the sea? And as the sun reflects off the water, each wave becomes a reflection. We people are known as the people that come from the sea. People are referred to in the scriptures as coming out of the sea. We are reflections of light of Yahweh when we allow him to do his work in us. And when we let his word live in us. You see? So we came from Yahweh as the Adamic race. Remember, they called us, Michael the Archangel called us the image of God. And Satan did not want to worship the image of God when he was told to. And when he rejected that, doing what Yahweh told him to do, Michael the Archangel warned him, his angels that were under him, speaking of hierarchy, were hurled from heaven. Hurled. So we came from Yahweh. Not all races came from Yahweh. Do you understand that? So don't say that we're all the children of God, because you don't know what you're talking about. You know, Yahweh created a dog too, but that doesn't make the dog a child of God. And you know, a gorilla can stomp me into the ground, but that doesn't make him equal with me. People get the idea if a race could beat you up, that they're equal with you. That couldn't be further from the truth. An elephant could stomp me into the ground, but that doesn't make the elephant equal with me. Let's use our brains here, folks. So we are born of water and spirit. You know, what does water do to fire, huh? It extinguishes it. Notice that light is different than the flame, even though flame is a form of light. So these Jews came from the flame, they returned to the flame, and you, Shabbaz Goy, will return to the flame with them. Even though you have not originated from the flame, you have agreed to being a child of fire. You, Judeo-Christian, who are blessing the enemies of God, who are the Jews, the Edomite Jews, you have made yourself the enemy of Yahweh because you would not have the truth. Don't blame him. Don't blame Yahweh for any of the positions that you are in because of your laziness, because you wouldn't seek the truth. And the truth would set you free. You decided not to seek the truth. You decided that you would sit back like you do with the game and let somebody guide you right into the bowels of hell. You have allowed yourself to become the child of the fire. Do not blame Yahweh. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. Who's Yahweh? Right? You liberal idiot, useful idiots. Do you know how many people, don't you take any examples from what goes on with you useful idiots? Don't you know that there's women that said, oh, I'm going to go over, I'm a liberal and I want to just help. Let me go over to Africa. Then they were raped and killed. Don't you know what happens to liberals? Don't you know that the feminists of the 60s and 70s now regret, not every one of them, ladies and gentlemen, but many of them regret ever having gotten involved with the Jewesses in that movement? See, because the Jewesses are the ones that did that. This is how they break the family up. So you want to become a child of the fire, then ye shall return to the flame with those that came from the flame. And who's to blame? Thou art. Shabbaz Goy, you think you're playing around here, and you cuckservatives, you know, you're all cuckservatives. What I call the Democrats. I mean, they're just as bad. I really don't care about politics. I want to abolish politics. Politics is of the devil and the Jew. Politics is how we got in the problems we're in, ladies and gentlemen. Politics is what empowers Freemasonry. So let's go on from here. I haven't even got to the crux yet. Now, the word saved. Now, I've heard people tell me that the word serpent and the word savior in Hebrew was the same word. Now, this is one of these idiots like Charles Giuliani or what's that guy's name there? Jordan Maxwell. I mean, this guy is just totally out there. They both tell you that the devil and Yahweh are one in the same. Now, this is something that the Aryan brothers of mine have adopted because They just don't see through they don't understand that Yahweh is the enemy of the Jew and the Jew is the enemy of Yahweh. They think Yahweh is the God of the Jew. But I've got something to tell you, that the word Savior in Hebrew is Yasha. And the word serpent in Hebrew is Nakash. Does that sound the same to you? Does Yasha sound the same as Nakash to you? So, there's another lie exposed, thanks be to Yahweh. He gave me that, and I remember hearing this many times, and that what they'll say to you is, the reason they put, had why Yahweh had the serpent put on the pole in Egypt was because it's the same word as when Yeshua was put on the cross, and these two fit together. But it, as you can see, that's not true. You see, not only is the devil not Yahweh, but the devil isn't even in the same league as Yahweh. I don't know what's going on with you people, how you seem to think. The world has taught you since you were a child that there's good and evil, and they're equal, like equilibrium. Like I was just speaking about equilibrium. Well, I'm so sorry to tell you that the devil is a wannabe God. He never will be a God. He never will be omniscient. He never will be omnipresent. He never will be anything close to Yahweh. He is nothing but a fallen angel, and a miserable one at that. Let's move along. I can see that we are going to have at least part four on this message, but let's move on, because this is where we find out that Freemasonry is not just flesh and blood, but it's serious business. This is from C.W. Ledbetter. I call him Ledbetter. Some people call him Ledbetter. Here we are again, tomato, tomato. It's from the book called The Hidden Life in Freemasonry. Page 303, The Procession. Everywhere on the surface of the earth, there are great magnetic current. Oh, here we are, magnetic again, passing both ways between the poles of the earth and the equator, and others coming at right angles to them around the earth. The co-masonic procession of entry into the lodge makes use of these currents. You see, I'm telling you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. This proof, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Yes, it is, and we are tasting it right now. Masonic procession of entry into the lodge makes use of these currents, forming of the space which we circumambulate, remember that word, a distinct eddy or specially magnetized portion of space. Okay, they circumambulate. That means to walk around the sun, or that when they take the candidate into the lodge, they circumambulate these certain things to get to the master, the worshipful master, while they might have a blindfold on or whatever it is. But remember, I also told you that at the Kaaba in Mecca, with the box, the cube, the Muslims circumambulate seven times in a counterclockwise direction around the box. Okay? As the BRN march around the floor singing, they should be thinking of the words of the introcessional hymn and canticle, and taking care that the procession is well done in good order. But in addition, they should be deliberately directing their thoughts to the magnetization of the mosaic pavement and the space above it. In ancient Egypt, it was considered to be the duty of the RWM to direct the currents and form the eddy in them, so as to magnetize very strongly the floor round which he passed. It is for this purpose that the officers and distinguished visitors pass clear round the lodge, and even go over some of the ground twice, for they do not go straight to their places on first approaching them, as do the EAs and the FCs. If you want to look this up, you just look up Mackey's Dictionary of Freemasonry, and he tells you what all these things mean. They're very simple. They're just different stations of the lodge, different, like the worshipful master is one, etc., etc. So, but continue as to complete the circumambulation as described in the Ritual of Universal Co-Masonry, 5th edition. With us also is the master of the lodge, who is responsible for the magnetization of the double square. But the BRN ought all to help in that work. The object is to charge that space heavily with the highest possible influence and to erect a wall around it in order that the influence may be kept in place. The part played by the thought form is much like that of a condenser. It matters not how much steam may be generated. It is useless for work unless it is enclosed and kept under pressure. In this scheme, we accumulate and use the force. The force. Like, where have we heard that? The force be with you, which otherwise would scatter itself freely all over the surrounding neighborhood. So they're controlling this magnetism and keeping it in place. And remember, magnetism is to evoke feelings, emotions. But many people would be unaware that this magnetism even exists in the lodge. Next, the altar. The altar should be in the middle of the square, nearest to the RWM. Though this differs in different obediences, in the Grand Lodge of England working, there is generally no altar at all. That's in England. Or, at most, only an appendage of the master's pedestal. So that when the candidate is taking the O, he kneels before the pedestal of the RWM. In some lodges, the altar is a little east of the center of the floor, and in others it stands in the middle of the floor. On the altar, or close to it, or hanging above it in the middle of the eastern square, there is, in Co-Masonic lodges, a small light burning, usually enclosed in ruby-colored glass. This light symbolizes the reflection of deity in matter, and it corresponds exactly to the light in the Catholic churches, which burns always before the altar, on which the host is reserved. Ladies and gentlemen, connections, connections, yes, Babylonian connections. Mackey, in his Lexicon of Freemasonry, speaks of the altar as the place where sacred offerings were presented to God. After the erection of the tabernacle, altars were of two kinds, altars of sacrifice and altars of incense. The altar of masonry may be considered as the representative of both of these forms. Geez, they said it wasn't a religion, and I believed them. Yeah, right. From hence, the grateful incense of brotherly love, relief, and truth is ever rising to the great I Am. While on it the unruly passions of the worldly appetites of the brethren are laid as a fitting sacrifice to the genius of our order. Oh, genius of our order. Now, I'm sorry, but I have to stop there because Yahweh had already taught me something about dictionaries and the word genius. Just in case you don't realize this, ladies and gentlemen, dictionaries from a long time ago are very revealing and have much more to them when it comes to defining a word. Today's dictionaries are like watered down versions. What it is, it's called newspeak. Remember that from George Orwell's 1984. Yes, they are eliminating words from our vocabulary in every edition of a Bible or every edition of a dictionary or whatever. Let's find out what a genius is. They said the genius of their order. A good or evil spirit or demon supposed by the ancients to preside over a man's destiny in life. A tutelary deity, a supernatural being, a spirit, good or bad. I thought a genius was just somebody like Tesla. Or supposedly Einstein was supposed to be a genius, but he was no genius at all. He's a fraud. You see, they took out this part about an evil spirit from a lot of the new dictionaries. You wouldn't know this. I told a friend of mine that. He didn't believe me. And when I proved it to him, he was very surprised. Second, the peculiar structure of mind with which each individual is endowed by nature, that disposition or aptitude of mind which is peculiar to each man, and which qualifies him for certain kinds of action or special success in any pursuit, special taste, inclination, or disposition, as a genius for history, for poetry, or painting. Definition 3. Peculiar character, animating spirit, as of a nation, a religion, a language. 4. Distinguished mental superiority. I guess the genius of the lodge is not only a demon, but he's a distinguished mental superiority, uncommon intellectual power, especially superior power of invention or origination of any kind, or of forming new combinations as a man of genius. I don't think I need to read any more, really, from that. I think you get the idea. But I've been holding that, and Yahweh just, that's it. That's where it's held for. So, tell me that's not interesting. All right? So now we're coming back here again, and the place with the sacred offerings, okay, we went through all that, yes, yes, yes. Okay, listen to this. Yes, the genius of our, okay, here it is. As a fitting sacrifice to the genius of our order, the proper form of a Masonic altar is that of a cube. About 3 feet high, with 4 horns, one at each corner, and having spread open upon it the Holy Bible, square, and compasses, while around it are placed in a triangular form and proper position the lesser 3 lights. Figure 2 is taken from the same source. The stars represent the 3 lighted candles, and the black dot, the vacancy, in the north, where there is no light. Proof of the pudding is in the eating. In our Co-Masonic lodges, we follow the English custom of having 3 candles beside the seats of the 3 principal officers, but they are still in the same relative positions. In this, as in other matters, there is no orthodoxy in Masonry. The symbol upon the eastern side of the altar is a circle bounded on the north and the south by 2 lines. In the center, there should be a point. There's that Masonic sign I told you about. Now, you see the circle being the Ouroboros, or, you know, the circle is the female, the pool of water, while the point in the center would be the generative principle, the male, the sons of God, and the circle, the daughters of men. The circle also represents infinity. The circle represents the kike. Remember kikel? Which is the Ouroboros circle. Because the Mason did not want to, because the Jew did not want to sign with an X, because it reminded him of Yahweh on the cross. So the Jew, who is and has always been known, and his father is known by the serpent, wanted to sign with a circle, and that means kikel. Just a little review here and there, ladies and gentlemen. The point within the circle round which a MM cannot err. The circle, as shown on the TB, is drawn the full size of the ulna so that it touches or almost touches the VSL. An explanation of this, which is often given in lodge lectures, is that the circle is bounded by two lines, which signify Moses and Solomon, and also by the VSL. Anyone who keeps himself within that circle and follows precepts of the VSL as thoroughly as Moses and Solomon will not err. In ancient Egypt, however, long before the time of the Jews, it was already a symbol with many meanings. First of all, it was the symbol of the sun god Ra. Oh, thank you, Father, for bringing that to light. See, the sun god Ra. Ra, in Hebrew, means evil. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. The sun god, Ra. Secondly, it bore the Egyptians the signification of the earth circling around the sun. That was with them a portion of the secret knowledge reserved for the mysteries. There was still an older tradition which held that the circle to be the equator and the dot in the center to be the pole star, whose position changes because of the precession of the equinoxes. See how these signs mean many things. There's many things these signs mean on many levels. And depending how much light you have, you may or may not know all of them. And they change from time to time. So, there was still an older tradition which held that the circle to be the equator and the dot in the center to be the pole star, whose position changes because of the precession of the equinoxes, in which the Egyptians took great interest. The inclination of the chief passage of the pyramid, Great Pyramid, was determined by the position of the pole star of the period. This symbol was used once more to indicate the all-seeing eye, an idea easily suggested by the dot in the middle of the circle. See, there it is again. There's another thing, what it means, what the dot and circle means. See, ladies and gentlemen, they're, what I had told you just a little while ago, that their doctrines are hidden in their symbols. Another interpretation of the symbol by the Egyptians was particularly beautiful. And all BRN will find it well worth remembering whenever their eyes fall upon it. The three columns representing wisdom, strength, and beauty were stated to stand round God's throne, which was the altar itself, which they took to signify love. Thus the circle describes the love of God, and the two lines which bound it are the lines of duty and destiny. Or to put it in the idea of Oriental terms, the Dharma and Karma. It was said that while an MM kept himself within the circle of the divine love and bounded his actions by duty and destiny, he could not err. Now I will tell you that, two lines going out of the circle means the ninth gate. So, our next portion here, it's called White Masonry, 801. The highest and last of the sacramental powers of the ancient mysteries which have been transmitted to us is that of the Sovereign Grand Inspector General of the 33rd degree. Listen up, folks. The BRN of this high order should have passed on from a conception of the divine justice to the certainty of knowledge and the fullness of divine glory in the hidden light. You see, when you become the 33rd, you've received the full-blown light, and you should be divine by then in this hidden light. This is the light that every Mason is asking the worshipful master, which represents the supreme Jew, as we found out earlier. The 33rd degree links the sovereign grand inspector general with the spiritual king of the world himself. Who is the spiritual king of the world, ladies and gentlemen? Let me read it again. The 33rd degree links the sovereign grand inspector general with the spiritual king of the world himself, that mightiest of adepts who stands at the head of the great white lodge, in whose strong hands lie the destinies of the earth, and awakens the power of the triple spirit as far as they can yet be awakened. This highest of all degrees is given to but few. Yet even among those few there can have been but a handful who had the least conception of what they had received, or of the powers given into their hands. Most of those to whom it comes probably regard it as chiefly an administrative degree, and have no idea that it has a spiritual side at all. Dig what I'm saying, a spiritual side. The actual conferring to the degree is a very splendid experience when seen with the inner sight. For the Hierophant of the Mysteries, H-O-A-T-F, the Hierophant of the Mysteries, stands above or beside the physical initiator in that extension of his consciousness, which is called the Angel of the Presence. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming upon it. If the recipient of the degree happens to be already an initiate, the star called in Egypt the Star of Horus, which marks the approval of the one initiator, once more flames out above him in all its glory. While in any case the two great white angels of the right flash down in splendor from the heavenly places, showing themselves as low as the etheric level, that they may give their full blessing to the new ruler in the craft. H-O-A-T-F, the Hierophant, makes the actual links both with himself and with the reservoir of power set apart for the work of Masonic Brotherhood, and also through himself with that mighty king whose representative he is. They're capitalizing all these he's, you know, that means that Lucifer. He is for this work, while the great white angels of the order remain as the guardians of the sovereign grand inspector general throughout life. So he has angels, demons, that go along with him and protect him throughout his life. This stage combines the wonderful love of Horus, the sun, with the ineffable life and strength of Osiris, the divine father, and Isis, the eternal mother of the world. And this union of love with strength is the most prominent characteristic. Now understand that Horus is the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. See, because the moon represents the earth, the moon would be the female, and you know how the female represents the earth, and Osiris would be the sun, which was the male, the generative principle, and the offspring. This is a mockery of Christ Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh. The sons of God and the daughters of men. It confers upon those who open themselves, see, who open themselves to its influence power, similar to and only a little way below that of the first great initiation. And those who enter the 33rd degree, should assuredly qualify themselves for that step before very long. Indeed, in the great days of the mysteries, this stage was accessible only to initiates, and one feels that it ought to be given only to such. Now, just as it would seem appropriate in the marvelous gift of the episcopate, should be conferred only upon the members of the great white brotherhood. The power of the degree, when in operation, shows itself in an aura of dazzling white and gold, enfolding within the rose and the blue of the Rose Croix and the KH. And yet it is also strongly permeated with the peculiar side of the electric blue, which is in the especial sign of the presence of the king. You know who the king is. The Sovereign Grand Inspector General is the Bishop of Masonry, and if the life of the degree is really lived, he should be an ever-radiating center of power, a veritable sun of light and life and glory wherever he goes. Page 813, Our Relation with the Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. We must consider heedfully the relation with the angelic kingdom into which these higher degrees bring us, for it is a matter of the utmost importance. Utmost, yes. At the moment of his perfecting, man becoming God, 6 and 7 is 13, there is attached to, listen now, at the moment of his perfecting, there is attached to the sovereign prince of the Rose Croix a splendid crimson angel, a being of beauty, dignity, and power beyond the utmost stretch of our imagination. What is the nature of this attachment, angel? You know, well, what's the nature of this attachment? And what will be the practical effect of this beautiful partnership between him and the degree, you see? When you have invited this angel to come live within you, you see? He's going to be attached to you in this degree. This is light that you're being given in this degree. This is demonic light. These are demons, not angels, as you would be thinking that what they're trying to imply here. When he knows what angels these are. The angel links himself with the higher principles of the man, most of all with the Buddhi, or intuitional wisdom. And the result should presently show itself in two ways. The indescribable vitality and versatility of the angel's mind will constantly impress themselves upon the mental body of the novice, stimulating it to far greater activity. Intellectual, you're going to be wiser. You're going to have more light. You're going to be closer to becoming a god, as Lucifer, as Halel promised in the garden. If you eat the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you shall be as gods, knowing evil and good. The promise. The UN, the monolith, intellect. The indescribable vitality and versatility of the angel's mind will constantly impress themselves upon the mental body of the novice, stimulating it into far greater activity, suggesting new lines of thought and action for the benefit of humanity. Oh, yes, the benefit. They're just like the Jews. Everyone wants to protect me. Everyone wants to help me. But what they really want to do is kill me. strengthening the quality of love within him and offering it ever new channels. Channels, you know, how people channel demons, through which to flow. Conversely, whatever ideas may arise from the neophyte's own mind will at once be seized and intensified by the angel. You see, this is going to improve the candidate. This is going to improve the mason. This is going to improve the man, the Shabbos Goy race trader. So that he could persecute his own race for a few cheap shekels from the Jew, his master, the worshipful master, which represents the eternal Jew. Are you hearing me, Shabbos Goy? Oh, yeah, you don't know who Albert Pike is or C.W. Ledbetter either, right? Yeah, that's right. I forgot. You guys don't know about any of these books. You never heard of any of this stuff. You know who Leadbeater is, do you? So this angel is going to improve upon the man's mind. He's going to take the man's thoughts, seize them, and intensify the man's thoughts. And all sorts of hints will be offered as to the methods of putting them into practice. But it cannot be too often reiterated or too strongly impressed upon the aspirant, oh, I'm inspired, that all this will happen only if he makes a definite effort to lay himself open. See, you must lay yourself open in order for this demon to enter you. You don't just have demons come into you because they felt like coming into your house. You opened the gate. You opened the gate. You made it possible for them to come in and live with inside of you. You see, this is what happens in Kundalini yoga, is they tell you to empty yourself. This is what I hear anyway. I would never have anything to do with this, but I knew right away what it meant. You see, you empty yourself so that somebody can come in you. Now, we're going to go into this even further next week, but however, I'll finish up what I can here. But it cannot be too often reiterated or too strongly impressed upon the aspirant, for all this will happen only if he makes a definite effort to lay himself open to the angelic influence. Only if he fills himself with the fiery love, which is the common factor and line of communication between the two evolutions, which otherwise differ so widely. If we are at all to understand these wondrous denizens of a higher world, which is yet part of our world, and is clearly our duty to try to understand them, oh yes, we shall need to widen out our entire conception of life. Our studies in earlier degrees should have given us a loftier point of view and endowed us with a wider outlook. Yes, broad. Remember what Manly P. Hall said? He said the Mason cannot be narrow. He must be broad. See? And the broad road leads to destruction. Shabbos Goy. The narrow road leads to eternal life. Shabbos Goy. I think I'll drop it right there. We're at about page 816, and there's more to be said here. Listen to this one line, though, from page 818. Yet when one of these bright spirits is attached to us by a Masonic ceremony, we must not think of him either as director or as an attendant, but simply as a co-worker and brother. Let me read that again for you. You get it? These bright spirits, see, that's light, although it's false light, and this is a demon, it's a spirit. Yet when one of these bright spirits is attached to us by a Masonic ceremony, we must not think of him either as a director or as an attendant, but simply as a co-worker and a brother. I'll go into that, you know, next week. God willing, Yahweh willing. Now, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see now that Freemasonry is a little more than just a men's club where we go and play cards? I shouldn't say we, because I wouldn't attend that thing. I'd rather die. Shabez Goy, you will return to the flame, yet you did not originate from the flame. And you have only yourselves to blame. You know, hopefully in some of these messages, I'll actually reach some of you people. Although, I don't mean to be negative, but I've seen you people. And I know you love your devils and Jews. Just like the Judeo-Christian loves his devils and Jews. Just like the liberals love their devils and Jews. They love anybody but the seed of Jacob. The liberal would help anybody but the seed of Jacob, the true Israelites. They'd help the Negro. They'd help the devil. They'd help anybody but their own race. It is sad, ladies and gentlemen. But as the saying goes, and I've heard it many times now, it is what it is. So I will not concentrate on who we are losing, but rather concentrate on those who will come to seek the truth and seek that they may be set free. See, seeking the truth is a lot of work, and you don't get paid anything for it. You understand that? You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. My name is David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.